Welcome to COVID year three. And by now, many of us have heard of long-haul COVID or long COVID. A person gets infected and then symptoms continue or they return months later. It can be debilitating. And it's not just adults. Here's Albany, New York mom Rebecca Hogan. Her three children are all being treated for long COVID after mild infections.
So Callie is 15 years old and she was having terrible, terrible stomach pains. And they did some blood work and found out that her pancreatic enzymes were really high. They put her on medication that she has to take 30 minutes before she eats every time she eats now. And she's getting terrible headaches and back pain. Also, mental health for her has been terrible. Very, very bad depression and anxiety. So Ben is 13 and he developed POTS. That's when your heart rate goes up really high. So you would just get nauseous and then throw up. Then he started getting foggy headed and then what we call spaghetti limbs. So your legs give out and Ben can't walk to classes because he feels like spaghetti. And Sebastian is 9 and his issues are mental health related. He developed, they now are saying that it's OCD. We can't get him to go to school. He's so anxious and we're working on that at this point.
Wow, what a constellation of symptoms. And here to talk about this is Dr. Alexander Yance. She directs the post-COVID program at Children's National Hospital in Washington, D.C. Dr. Yance, welcome.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for taking the time. Now, we just heard from Rebecca Hogan. Her children are not your patients. But this range of symptoms, does that sound familiar to you?
Absolutely. With this poor woman described, very much fits the spectrum and the types of symptoms that the patients we see at our clinic here at Children's National to a T, really. Fatigue has really been the predominant symptom, ranging from, you know, they're just not as active anymore to they cannot get out of bed. Some of the other more common symptoms have included decreased appetite, bad abdominal pain, headaches are very common. And then brain fog, changes in behavior, be it increased anxiety, depression. But then we've seen random couple kids presenting with vertigo, some that have had really abnormal rashes. One young lady that has actually had high blood pressure develop and has had to be on medication to help treat that.
Why such this huge range of symptoms? You know, initially, 2 years ago, we thought of COVID as this respiratory thing.
Right. So with long COVID, which seems to be an entirely different beast than the acute illness, there's multiple different presentations that people have. It's thought to be some sort of a trigger that the infection has set off, but maybe not specific to the ongoing infection of the actual virus.
I've read perhaps 10% of kids who get the virus end up with long COVID. How challenging is it just to get your arms around what this is and who gets it?
There have been lots of efforts to come up with a good diagnostic criteria for long COVID, given the wide range of symptoms that are all presenting very quickly. In the absence of that, lots of patients and families don't know what to do with these new symptoms that their kids are presenting with. So they often get passed around from doctor to doctor. That's why clinics like ours and other post-COVID or long COVID clinics that really have a concentration are helpful to develop sort of that expertise to tell parents, yes, you are fitting with these other patients we're seeing and at least putting a name on their symptoms and what they're going through.
So how do you treat it? Is there an emerging consensus what to do?
So there is really no consensus in terms of a single management. We think there's probably several different processes going on contributing to the different types of symptoms. But one of the biggest things is helping patients and their families get back to where they were before COVID.
Now, we have talked to some adults and their caregivers who have long COVID, and several of them have said, you know, they're not necessarily taken seriously by their doctors. Is it even harder for children who may have trouble even finding the words for what's happening?
Absolutely. Most of the patients that we've seen in our clinic are adolescents who are able to vocalize their experiences and their symptoms. But for younger children, it's much more subjective, relying on, you know, parents' perceptions and very keen observations of how their child may be acting differently. And likely we are under-detecting sort of ongoing symptoms in the younger age populations.
Now, there is an assumption many have out there that kids are lower risk for, you know, getting very sick with COVID. Given what you're learning, what is your message when you hear, oh, kids, they're going to be fine?
I think that it's important to remember that low risk is not the same thing as no risk. So just because they are less likely and thankfully, you know, less impacted in terms of rates of death and rates of severe hospitalization and even rates of these persistent symptoms, doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. And unfortunately, we don't know which children are more at risk for persistent symptoms or for any of other complications of COVID. You know, it's a roll of the dice, and you never know if your child may be the one that will have fatigue that keeps them out of school for the next 6 months or has debilitating headaches or abdominal pain.
Yeah, wow, roll of the dice. That is Dr. Alexandra Yance. She directs the post-COVID program at Children's National Hospital in Washington, D.C. Dr. Yance, thank you for the time.
Thank you so much, Scott. Really appreciate you talking about this subject.
Okay, let's turn to another family dealing with long COVID. Javanese Haley is a teacher in the D.C. area. Last summer, her 10-year-old daughter, Haley Bryson, got COVID-19. What happened next? Well, let's bring in Javanese. Welcome to Here and Now.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So let's start there. Your daughter was a healthy 10-year-old last summer, got a mild case of COVID, and then seemed to recover. What happened after that?
So it was approximately a week and a half after the quarantine period was over. She was back to her normal self, feeling good. School year started, and she was complaining of a sore throat, headache, and stomach ache. And these were the same three initial symptoms that ended up being the COVID infection. But I found out that she had contracted strep throat. And then about another week or so after doing the round of antibiotics, those same three symptoms persisted. And so I took her back to her pediatrician repeatedly. They tested her for mono. That was negative. They retested her for strep. That was negative. And so it was a puzzle as far as, you know, what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's a puzzle, and you're a parent, I'm a parent. For me, I would have started going around the internet, putting in these symptoms and perhaps getting terrified with the findings. Were you anything like that?
Absolutely. I was up late at night being a Google doctor, trying to put pieces of the puzzle together. I had reached out to a gastroenterologist. And so she ended up having an ultrasound of her stomach done, a bunch of lab work done, and everything came back normal. And so then after probably my fourth or fifth visit to her pediatrician, I wasn't seeing improvement. They suggested that I consider having her participate in the study for children with long COVID through Children's Hospital. Mm-hmm. And so it was in October that we got our first appointment there.
And how about school and fatigue? I understand your daughter lost something like 20 pounds. Was she able to make it through school? Was she able to do school?
She wasn't. School was a struggle. I would say from, you know, when the school year started until about November, it was very inconsistent. And when she was in school, she spent a significant amount of time in the day in the clinic. And I was in daily communication with her school nurse around noon to 12:30. Her energy reserves were done, and she just couldn't make it.
Before all this, was she a high-energy kid?
Yeah, she was high-energy, you know, rarely ever sick. She was the type of kid that, you know, she had a little sniffle here and there, you know, like a dose of Tylenol would do the trick.
So now that she is part of this long COVID study, have the doctors at Children's Hospital in D.C. been able to come up with some answers to help her feel better?
Yeah, they've offered so many suggestions and supplements, you know, to try to help support her stomach. They've given us answers. They put a name to it, and they kind of helped us understand that, you know, this is something that we don't know how long it's going to last, but we're just taking it day by day, which is not the easiest thing to hear. But at least I know there's a name to it and that there's a chance that she will, you know, have a full recovery.
As you know, there is a perception out there that, you know, kids are safer with COVID. They get less sick. When you hear that, oh, kids are fine, what is your response?
Oh, I have many responses. But one is just that it's not true. I mean, we don't have a blueprint model that's going to tell us, oh, this kid A is going to recover and not have long COVID and kid B isn't. And it's almost like Russian roulette because it can literally happen to anyone. Like my daughter, totally healthy beforehand. And, you know, we experienced this.
Javanese Haley is a teacher in the D.C. area, and she's a parent of a child with long COVID. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much.